There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Picks. Jeremy Plonk, Express Bet Editor-in-Chief, Saratoga, Race 10. He likes the one. Twist Just Right at 6-1. Del Mar, been there many times. Race 4. He likes the 3. Carson's Legacy at 8-1. He is a mess around. All right. Use code HORSE200 for a free $10 and get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200 with wagering at more than 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks. First Bet app, the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website. VSiN.com/horses for details on this exclusive offer for VSiN fans. VSiN.com/horses.
Here we go. Thursdays with the Maestro. He is the VP of Circa Resort and Casino, the Golden Gate, and the D in downtown Las Vegas. He is Mike Palm. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Woonsocket, Rhode Island, all of our loyal Nesson family watching. Oblong, Illinois. Peekaboo, Marquee. We see you. Otterville, Ontario. Roger Sportsnet. Good morning, Canada. Confluence, Pennsylvania, AT&T in the Pittsburgh area, and Tarzana, California, Sunrise over Spectrum. We say good morning.
You guys were taking, what, $30,000 on the Hall of Fame game last week?
Yeah, we were.
And so tonight, NFL preseason action coming at you again. I'm looking at the app right now. It's early in the morning. How much are you going to take later on today?
We'll take 30.
You'll take 30 on the app? Yeah.
We got crushed. Everybody had the Raiders. Everybody had the Raiders.
Didn't the over help?
A little bit. Okay. There was some buyback once it got down to 30 and a half. And
okay.
All that.
Yeah, I bet.
Any $30,000 bets last week that
no,
came
there,
in?
There were no 30.
No max bets? Okay.
2,000s and 5,000s and all that. But everybody had the Raiders.
Is everybody on the Giants today?
A lot of money on the Giants. Especially anybody that's seen any tape out of this Patriots camp.
Oh,
Patricia.
I know. It doesn't make any sense, right?
This is in no hyperbole. But how do you go from what they've run for 21 years, now putting in Shanahan's zone blocking scheme, right? And then Patricia, who hasn't called a play, or ever maybe,
ever.
He hasn't been on the offensive side of the ball since 2005.
Yeah.
Now he's the de facto and calling the plays. You see their first quarter in pads? They've got stuffed 9 out of 10 plays. They didn't even make a yard running against the scout defense.
Well, the ultimate exact is also Joe Judge involved.
Yeah,
which I know. Guy's a special teams coach. Now he's got quarterback influence.
He's the quarterback's coach. Yes, and now he's also calling some plays. But once the season starts, Patricia will call all the plays.
Paulie made a comment earlier that he can foresee Belichick just saying, scrapping everything and saying, I'm taking over. I'm going to call plays. I could see that happening. Do you want Joe Judge anywhere near a team, let alone an offense or quarterbacks, after what he did last year at his own goal line calling back-to-back quarterback keepers?
No.
Oh, we need room to punt.
No.
The guy shouldn't even be in the NFL anymore after that decision.
Butter some room.
No.
Yeah, he needs some room here.
No. No.
It's hilarious.
No. What about this Ravens game is also fascinating, right? Mm-hmm. They can go for 21 straight tonight. Paulie likes them. Look, they have good quarterbacks who I can trust in the preseason. Yeah. I get it. They're coming off of a year where they had, the worst injury luck like of all time. But where are you at with this game now? Because the number's been all over the place.
Yeah, we don't have a big decision. A little bit Patriots here. But, it's so baked into the number about Harbaugh and what he wants
sure,
to do.
Sure, opening
it.
Up and, like and four, four and a half.
The preseason. A guy like Chuck Edel's ahead of it 4 or 5 years ago. But now, everybody knows, so it's tough. It's tough. I just don't know how you can put all these totals at 30. It's hard for games to stay under 30.
Yep.
Hall of Fame.
The defensive turnovers, this and that, and things go screwy in these preseason games. It's just, I know the game's supposed to be boring, but 30 is still a very low number.
Yeah, okay. I would agree with that. Like tonight, for example, again, in this game now, bet down to 31.5. Like, if that ticks down even a little bit more, I might even go over 31.5 right now.
I would go over 31 if it gets to 31. Yeah. That's a key number.
The Ravens quarterbacks can play, well-documented. And the Titans, a question mark with the kid they drafted out of Liberty with Willis. But Whiteside, he's good in the preseason.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's a whole different ballgame.
I don't care. We're not talking regular season football here at all.
It has nothing to do with regular season football.
No, nothing.
Even the third week doesn't have anything to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. It used to be at least the first half of the third week was a regular season game. Not anymore. Yep. Not anymore.
All right, let's promote. Let's contest, baby. Let's go. Seminar right around the corner.
Yeah, it starts the contest sign-up weekends. Starts this weekend. The meet and greet, and I know you guys will be around for a couple of those Fridays at Bar Canada, 6 to 8. That's open to everybody. We changed it now, Paul. We said you have to do the full house, the 9 entries, in order to get access to the pool and to the concert and all this. We've lowered it to 6, any combination of 6. So even if you did just all 6 survivors, that gets you to the pool party and stadium swim on Saturday. That's 10 a.m. To 3 p.m. And then the concerts the first two Saturdays, Theory of a Dead Man, starts at 8 o'clock this Saturday. Simple Plans, 9 o'clock the next Saturday. And, of course, the big crescendo event is in 3 weeks when we actually open our ballroom here at Circa, and I have my third annual panel, which includes Brian Urlacher, Sean King, Chris Bennett from Circa Sports, and you mentioned Adam Chernoff.
Well, I'll tell you, Theory of a Dead Man, it's a pretty good band.
Canadian. It just happens both are Canadian. Now, we call this first weekend Canada-Iowa weekend. Because the guys that do the radio show out in Iowa are going to be here, and we have a bunch of Canadians coming in. But it's anybody. But both of the first two weekends, the bands are Canadian. Theory of a Dead Man's played downtown, 4 times? They did our first Victoria Day. They do the summer concert series. Very popular band.
Yeah, they're very good. Okay, so there you go with all that. I can't wait for that weekend when everybody's going to be here in town, obviously, coming up in a few weeks. We had Matt Simo on the program yesterday, right? He's been running a proxy service here in town for these contests for many, many years. Great dude, great at his job. He threw a number out there for Circa Survivor, and Paulie and I were like, wait a second, what? Right now it's a touching 1,400. You need to get to 6,000 to have no overlay. He said the projected numbers, talking to like Benson here at Circa, maybe 8,100?
Come on.
Agree or disagree?
That's nonsense. Never say never, but they got it twice a week to come out. They use data from previous. They got all the statisticians that work back there, right? The numbers crunchers, and they got line graphs and bar graphs and Venn diagrams and Punnett squares and flow charts and Punnett square. Yeah. I don't know how you say. Anyhow, the latest projection is 7,700 for Survivor and 4,500 for Circa Millions. I think it's high on one and a little low on the other. I don't think there's going to be a 3,200 gap between the two. I can see 7,000. I could see us touching maybe 7,200. I think we'll get close to 5,000 and the millions. But boy, 8,000? That's a heck of a jump. You're doubling? 1,300 to 4,000 and the 4,000 to 8,000? Could Derek Stevens have been that right about the Survivor? Everybody wants to play in a Survivor contest?
Oh, Mike. I'm convinced that eventually Survivor can get to 20,000.
It's possible.
See, I think I think there's maybe, it depends on what you guys do in the future for like the possible overlay, but I think there might be a cap, because I do think that when you're up against 4,000 other people or 4,500 and you're realizing, wait a second, how many people are going to hit 63, 64, 70%? I got to compete with that. They're like, too difficult. I'm not going to get in it this year. You know what I'm saying?
I always say that the five games against the spread is the contest for the person that's more than recreational, right? I mean,
no doubt.
Now, some people are just good, and that's all they do are contests, but that means they're more than recreational at contests. The Survivor is the everyman story, right? Anybody can play. The housewife can play. Anybody can pick their team, pick a winner each week. The thing about it is it's so damn fun. Because of the stories, and then you get into the season and all these scenarios, and you got Goofy chart of many colors and all this, and the double reverse helix and all his stuff, and the theories, and people very passionate, the bad beats, the lucky escapes that everybody has. And even when you get eliminated, you just want it next year so you can get back in it. I mean, there's that FOMO.
I got bounced with both my entries. I was gone by week two last year. Ooh. And I was so mad because the Seahawks...
Well, you had the Falcons in week one or something, right?
That was terrible by me. Yeah. I wanted to sneak one through there.
Yeah.
I had the Seahawks in week two against the Titans, up by 14, fourth quarter, like first blown loss.
I lost that game just straight up betting that game. I was sick.
Terrible blown loss. Anyway, I was so, like, I don't know what the word was, sad, upset, pissed off, whatever, at the end of that game. But all I could think about is if I could rebuy right now, I would. And I was already thinking about this year for Survivor when I got bounced after week two.
I know. We got to come up with something like in week nine or something, halfway through, the people that have gotten knocked out have a second half Survivor, right? I remember the first year, the Colts?
Yeah.
A third of the field got knocked out with the Colts. Everybody left with a bitter taste in their mouth. That's they didn't even get to week two.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That was bad.
I mean, that's bad to have so many people knocked out that early.
You mentioned the great stories. Billy Chippis, Billy the Kid, he wants you to put a number up while you repeat. And he's coming to town for the seminar. He'll be out here the 27th. I'm going to buy two houses. I'm betting more on the Chiefs. He gets that miracle when he was on the air.
Can you put up a number? No offense, Billy, but I think this would be fascinating. What week will he be bounced by?
That's probably a more interesting number than what will he do to repeat. None of the 35 from year one were part of the five from year two, right? So, the field, the field double the size. Could it be harder? Are there as many bad teams to go against? Well, it's long, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty long. What week will he get? Well, it all depends on how many entries he's got. I would think he'd do more than two this year,
I would think so, too.
But never know with him. Maybe two is his
lucky
mojo.
Number and,
right? Just like he would never hedge because he didn't want to ruin his mojo.
That's right. Yeah.
Bet more. What a middle he had there on the Broncos.
Dream scenario. He would have cashed everything.
He's happy with his $1.53 million.
Yeah. Did he buy a house? Do you know this?
He was talking
about Costa Rica, I think, and Portugal.
There's a lot of windmills out there.
All right.
Is that the team this year that Atlanta's to go against? This could be. Or is it the Bears?
On our little program that we have here, Odds On, at 11 o'clock Pacific. And I said Atlanta's the worst team, and Mitch said, are they worse? I said, worse than the Texans, and you said, are they worse than the Bears? And then all of our expert NFL guests keep saying the Bears are the worst team. Bet the Bears to have the worst record. Could that really be? I saw some of Fields' passes here in the preseason.
I know. How about this? You can lay. You've got to pay -170, but division wins. Are they going to get to three in their division? You can go under 2.5 -170 for the Bears.
You know, I thought it was an aberration to us, all this Lions liability. It's every book. They're betting the Lions. Lions to win the division, conference, and Dan Campbell, coach of the year.
Yep. A future Emmy-winning segment. No hyperbole coming up next.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this nine-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun,
and I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No bias.
You will respect my authority.
No pulled punches.
Your wife cheated on you because you lost sight of who you are as a man, as a husband.
No agenda.
There is no fear in this dojo.
This is no hyperbole.
This is the best part of the week.
Here's the maestro, Mike Palm.
I am the smartest man alive.
All right, number five, strapped for cash. The Tampa Bay Rays are 58-52 and currently tied for the third AL wildcard spot with the Baltimore Orioles, one game ahead of the Twins and a game and a half ahead of the White Sox, but they are up against it. They only have one starting pitcher with more than seven wins, Shane McClanahan, are hitting .238 as a team, and currently have 15 players on the injured list. Add to their woes Saturday night at Comerica in Detroit. Trailing 2-1 in the bottom of the seventh to the lowly Tigers, McClanahan gives up a double to right fielder Willie Castro, putting runners on second and third with no one out. Manager Kevin Cash sends pitching coach Kyle Snyder out to the mound to speak with their struggling ace. But Snyder doesn't make it that far. Cash said after the game, Kyle pulled a calf muscle. Pulled it, strained it, popped it. We haven't got the final injury report yet. I had to step up. Cash made the mound visit. The Rays would proceed to give up five in the inning and lose 9-1. Snyder, a 6'8", former major league pitcher, is listed as day-to-day. What else can go wrong for the Rays? Number four, big league dreams and strike zones. It's August, and that means it's time for the Little League World Series. The exuberance of youth, the raw emotions of competition, the forged birth certificates. In an attempt to improve its product, Little League Baseball brought in retired Major League Baseball umpire Jerry Davis, who worked in the big leagues from 82 until 2021 and holds the record for most postseason games umpired. Among Davis's recommendations to bring back veteran Little League World Series umpires to act as mentors to the adult volunteers who were selected to umpire this year's event. The veteran umps are assigned to each crew and permitted to rotate through the crew. The World Series itself will start in Williamsport, Pennsylvania on August 17th. We are in the midst of the regional play in the United States right now, which is being covered by ESPN as well. In the first week of regionals, are any indication, Jerry Davis and his veterans have their work cut out for them in Williamsport. The strike zones are rivaling that of their major league counterparts. We have a few still photos of called third strikes. Some of these would even make Angel Hernandez blush. Oh, probably not. Let's not forget that these pitches in the opposite batter's box can't even be reached by a 12-year-old or an 11-year-old, let alone a 10-year-old. I worked many Little League baseball games from kids that were 8 years old up to kids who were 15 years old. I worked the under 14 Little League World Series at the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa in 1990 and called balls and strikes for the final between Texas and Puerto Rico. I dug the blackout around the plate, and that was my boundary for in and out. You have to give these kids a chance to hit the ball. One coach commented in the local paper, it was tough for our pitchers to throw into that postage stamp of a strike zone. And that was the headline, Telegraph Herald. Number three, reach out and touch third base. Most of our viewers are old enough to remember the Ma Bell AT&T commercial slogan of the 1970s, reach out and touch someone. This was taken to an extreme Tuesday night in Phoenix. Pirates second-year infielder Rodolfo Castro, recently called up from AAA Indianapolis, got the start and reached on a walk in the fourth inning. Castro raced towards third on a single by O'Neill Cruz and slid headfirst into the bag. Third base umpire Adam Amari noticed that his cell phone was on the ground and pointed for Castro to retrieve it. The best part of the whole episode might have been the exasperated look on Pirates third base coach Mike Rabello's face as Castro handed him the phone. You stay around the game and see things you haven't before. This was just a kid who made a mistake. We will move forward and tell him not to do it, said Pirates coach Derek Shelton. Technically, the phone on the field violates Major League Baseball's prohibition against electronic devices. The umpires did not eject Castro. D-backs manager Torrey Lovullo concurred, stating, I know the kid wasn't doing anything malicious. After the game, Rodolfo explained through an interpreter that no Major League Baseball player would intentionally take their cell phone onto the field and felt horrible that it happened to him. The Pirates lost the game 6-4, and Rob Manfred is looking into the incident. Number two, Belichick's offensive decision. What in the world is going on with the Patriots offense? Apparently, Matt Patricia, the pencil himself, is going to be serving as the Patriots' de facto offensive coordinator. They don't have that title in the organization. And calling all the plays once the season starts. Wait, what? Matt Patricia? The same Matt Patricia that served as linebackers coach, safeties coach, and defensive coordinator from the Patriots from 2006 through 2017? The same Matt Patricia who was named head coach of the Detroit Lions in 2018 and took a team that perennially went 10-6 under Jim Caldwell to a record of 13-29-1 in 2.5 seasons before getting fired? The same Matt Patricia who hasn't been involved with your offense since 2005 when he was an assistant offensive line coach and is now going to be calling the plays in 2022? But wait, there is more. Patricia has decided to abandon the Patriots' successful gap-heavy rushing attack and install Mike Shanahan's zone-blocking scheme. New England has only run Charlie Weiss's system for the last 21 years. In their first padded practice under Patricia's new offense, the first quarter produced in order, false start, interception, stuffed run, two-yard run, stuffed run, five-yard run, overthrow, stuffed run, stuffed run, and stuffed run. Mac Brown has been reported to look, quote, uncomfortable and unsure of himself. Can't wait to see this new offense in action tonight against the Giants. After all, we know that Patricia has the Midas touch. And number one, a rose by any other name. What was meant to be a celebration of the Phillies' 1980 World Series championship this past Sunday turned into a disgraceful affair thanks to one Pete Rose. In the context of his admitted physical relationship with an underage girl in Cincinnati in the mid-1970s, Rose was asked by Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Alex Kofi what he would say to people who thought his presence at the event sent a negative message to women. He replied, quote, no, I'm not here to talk about that. Sorry about that. It was 55 years ago, babe. Later, having been told by someone, maybe his agent, that he needed to speak with Kofi about his earlier comments, Rose asked if he had offended her and would she forgive him if he signed 1,000 baseballs for her. Despite these incidents, the Phillies thought it was a good idea to have Rose spend the fifth and sixth innings in the broadcast booth. The appearance besides Tom McCarthy and John Kruk went quickly and predictably downhill.
Joe said, Tony, congratulations. What did you hit? And Tony says, Joe, I hit a high fastball. And Joe didn't know what to say. Joe said, no.
Rose used explicit language and told crude stories. NBC Philadelphia edited out the bottom of the fifth and the entire sixth innings on its broadcast replay. Does anyone find any of this surprising? I think Philadelphia Inquirer columnist David Murphy summed it up best. Quote, if there is one compliment you can give Pete Rose without feeling the need to rinse your soul out with Listerine, it is that he has consistently kept the world informed about how unattractive a human being he really is. There are plenty of celebrities that act one way in public and another in private. Rose? He's never paid any attention to his surroundings. From his infamous on-field push of umpire Dave Pallone to his long list of off-field transgressions, illegal gambling, tax evasion, etc., Rose has always made it perfectly clear to anybody with an ethical pulse that he was, is, and will continue to be a bona fide and unapologetic jerk. All of this brings an important philosophical question that the Phillies should be asking themselves after Rose spent his Sunday embarrassing himself and everybody in the organization who thought it was a good idea to include him in their celebration of the 1980 World Championship team. When a jerk acts like a jerk, is it entirely his fault, or does the blame fall partly on those who thought he might act another way? End quote. And that is no hyperbole.
All right.
All right, pal.
Good list.
Great job.
Thank you.
He doesn't know where he is. He is. I mean, he's the only one laughing there at the end, too.
I was actually going to say,
he's live on television.
That was him, right? That was only Pete Rose.
That was only
laughing.
Him laughing.
Silence from Crock.
Yeah. From everybody
and,
else.
Yeah. Silence.
They're probably thinking to themselves, what are we doing here? Why is he in the booth right now? Yeah. How do we get him out?
He was in the booth for three half innings. The bottom of the fifth and the sixth.
They
top
bring
and bottom
him back.
Of the sixth.
Well, guy used to work at Fox, too. He was on the coverage. Yeah. So it's like, you've been on TV.
The Phillies, when they said, well, we polled all the players on the championship,
right.
And they all thought that Pete should be part of the celebration.
Yeah.
Remember, they were going to put him on the Wall of Fame and have him there in 2017. They had to cancel it because those allegations first came out about the underage girl.
If you had to make a number on another player on the field having a cell phone pop out at some point in the next 5 years, would you say yes or no?
No, huge no.
Huge no, huh? Yeah.
Especially since this happened.
Can't believe it.
Did you see what the kid said?
Yeah.
Because he put his sliding glove in he forgot his cell phone was in there and he didn't feel it.
I think yes.
You think it will happen again?
Yes, because people are so addicted to their phones.
But what are they waiting for? They're in a Major League Baseball, especially a kid like this that gets called up.
Yep.
What more important could be happening
to him? Like, what are you checking? Where are you at, by the way? Are you in the dugout on your phone?
I mean, the guys in the bullpen might be making plans later, but I mean, I don't think the people in the dugout themselves are.
Yeah, you nailed it, too.
Yeah.
The look on the third base coach when
disgusting.
He hands it to him.
So
he goes, because he's old school.
Yeah.
He's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me it. He just puts in his pocket.
But here's the thing. The difference between old school like that, a guy who's been around the game for a long time, and a 22-year-old kid, it's completely night and day.
Brindley said when I played, we didn't all have phones when I played even.
Yeah.
And now,
my
stepdaughter started kindergarten, right? So she's in a new school. And they send home a bunch of paperwork after day one. It's the cell phone policy. This is kindergarten through fifth grade. There's a child cell phone policy that the parents have to sign off on. About the kids have to put their cell phones away once they come into school. They can't have them up during school.
Does she have one as a kindergartner?
No, she does not.
At what point?
My son
does
not at age 7 either.
When? Age 10? 11? When do you 12, do that?
Maybe 12. I might change my mind by then. But,
but how many other kindergartners actually have a cell phone?
I don't know. They specifically said in the orientation, no rollers on the backpacks. It looked like an airport. I mean, what's going on here?
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're up.
Here we go with our in-pocket plays. Game postponed last night. Barrios and Kramer supposed to take the mound. Nope, no good. I had the over 8.5, so that was postponed, a refund. Today, I'm going to go, you know what? Year number 2 of the corn cob game.
Yeah.
It's 9. I'm going to bet it one more time here. There's no Field of Dreams game next year. They're building up the stadium to make it a little bit bigger, so there's going to be like a pause on this. But it did eventually go flying over last year. I buy into the humidity on the corn cobs coming in. resulting in maybe balls flying out of the park a little bit. Give me over 9 here tonight, Cubs and Reds.
All right. Sounds good. Winner with the Braves. Boy, we might be late to the party, but this Red Sox outfit right now, they're 7-17 with an ERA of 6 and change.
I might bet the Orioles tonight against the
Red Sox. I don't know. I can't believe the Red Sox are favored. I just the way they're playing, and the Orioles are hot, right? And then we got the Ravens tonight. But bad number now in light of with the Harbaugh comments, but I still think they get there tonight with the strength of Huntley and Huntley. And Phillies run line, day game, plus 130. They're hot. Marlins can't score. Come on.
Yep.
23 of 27 games. They've been held to 3 runs or fewer. They're not scoring. I trust the Phillies offense, and Gibson's able to contain them. So a good plus price there with the Phillies on the run line, and then all the pending as well. And I think Humans is on the right track with the Giants tonight as well. In Pocket, presented by BetRivers, your hometown book. Check out their daily specials posted afternoon Eastern, BetRivers.com. Mike, you hit on something too, and Mitch, about the appropriate age where you kids get a cell phone. Because I went through this with Shauna, the girl I used to date. When her son, we would be out on dates, and then she's like, let me check in, see how my son's doing. And then a lot of times he would call her using his mom's phone, but he also knows. So he goes, are you coming home, Mom? She goes, yeah, I'll be there. So he goes, and he's like getting mad at her. He goes, that's it, I'm blocking you. He's 5. He would block her. He knows how to do it.
He knew how to do that already.
He's 5 years old, right? Wow. So that goes back to how far out of the game these kids are and what you're dealing with as a parent.
I'm going to guess that more than 50% on average of kids at any given school between kindergarten and grade 5, I'm going to guess more than 50% have a cell phone.
Probably by grade 4, maybe. You get to be 10 years old.
Yeah.
I think I got one. My parents gave me one when I was 16 and I started to drive. For emergencies, right? My mother would say, in case something happens with the car, to call AAA. And that was it was a big apparatus, too. It wasn't like these little phones we have now or smartphones or anything like that.
Oh, it was a brick cell phone.
Yeah.
Size of your head.
It was for emergencies only. Uh-huh. Something happened on the road.
Good. All right.
Are you excited for the baseball game tonight? Would you be there if you lived in the Midwest?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Your dad would
Why wouldn't you be there? My dad loved it. He loved the youth baseball. He would go and criticize every move the coaches made. He was unbelievable. My coach when I was in the was from 10 through 14, well to 13, because the kid was a year older than me. His son was on the team, and he always pitched his son, and my father would just go nuts. Sindel, get your kid out of there for God's sakes.
Would he ever yell at the umpires?
He yelled. I was in a flag football game in eighth grade. I intercepted a pass and ran it back for a touchdown. They called pass interference. I honestly never even made contact, and they called me for pass interference. He got thrown out of the park. Then he sat and he had this horn. He was honking his horn from the parking lot. He was so angry. He was so angry.
Oh,
my mother would say, geez, you're embarrassing us, Ron. He says, you embarrass us with that cowbell, Judy. Because she would ring the cowbell when you scored. It's not Starkville. It's not Starkville.
Oh, this is good. Oh, man. You made a point off the air, though, about with no game next year.
Are they going to build a stadium?
Yeah, they're going to add on with seats.
For once a year, they must have other plans to do other events there, but that you're ruining the ambiance of what it is. It's just in a cornfield, right? It's a television. It's like football. It's a television event.
Yeah.
The worst place to see it is there.
Yeah.
But you know, we would be there. You'd have the guy from KCRG with the weather forecast.
Remember? He doesn't live there anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, he moved? Yeah, he moved to Florida now.
Damn.
Bigger market.
It was such a good breakdown last
year. He's good. He's a great guy.
Oh, he's awesome. He's really, really good. Yeah. But I'm looking at the forecast right now. Thanks. This is from Gary. He sent the forecast. Uh-huh. So we'll read this here. Yeah. Tonight, 7 o'clock local time, 73% humidity. It's going to feel like 73 degrees out there. And then it picks up 77% humidity later on and about 74 the game's going to wind down tonight.
Well, no rain. It's been raining a lot because I've been talking to my mother, who's still in Dubuque, which is just 20 miles away.
Is that all?
There's a lot of right on Highway 20. It's just like that to get there. So
how small is that the population? 4,000 or 5,000?
Yeah, Dyersville. They got a Catholic high school there, Beckman High School, and a public high school. So all those towns are like that. Cascade, you know, every 10 miles there's another little town and another little high school, right? So I mean, that's the life there. But it's a beautiful setting, and I know Joey Votto said all this, the Yankees, the White Sox that play in those games, it's important to them. It's a very meaningful thing to them.
Did you like the movie? I can't recall.
Yeah, I liked the movie. I thought the movie, a lot of local people played roles in the movie, right? They used them in speaking roles. there, and they painted the little Central Avenue there a few blocks to reflect the time period. That was a big deal when the film was made in the time.
Oh, I bet, sure.
You know, you get James Earl Jones. I mean, it's right. A big Costner.
Costner was there last year.
He peaked early, but I mean, he was all right.
Great production. Well, he did a ton of sports movies and baseball movies with that guy. How about a Ronnie Palm story?
Well, I was thinking about the squirrels, but you know, he would take me to. I walked to school because where I went to grade school. You know, it was a 20-minute walk. So I was walked to school, except on Friday. He would take me out to breakfast. But he said they had this, you know, perpetual rosary where they take turns for an hour and the rosary never stops being said. And his hour was 4 to 5 a.m. on Friday. So he would go do that. Then he would come get me up, take me to breakfast at this restaurant. I mean, two eggs, bacon, hash browns, toast, coffee, orange juice. You know, he loved cholesterol. 14 eggs a week. It was just a steady diet for him. He used to say, I don't understand. He says, cholesterol and exercise, same thing. They make the heart work harder. So I don't get what the deal is. Later in life, they told him about the whites. But then when we would get done with breakfast around 7, school, the bell was 8:05. He would take me up to Eagle Point Park, which is on the bluffs there in Dubuque, and then down to the Lock and Dam and ride around. I always remember because he listened to Paul Harvey on Friday, right, on the radio. But he had an obsession with squirrels. Okay, he loved these squirrels. And we would go to the park and count the squirrels. He would feed the squirrels at our house. The squirrels would come to our door, and he would feed them Ritz crackers with peanut butter. And my mother would get so angry because she hated squirrels. She said, Ron, don't you understand they are rats that live in trees? Why are you bringing them to our home? But he would feed them right on the stoop. He would lay it out, and they would come and eat until one day she stepped on a squirrel coming out the door. So then he was forced to feed them over by the garage, by the alley. But we had a cement slab there where you put the garbage. So he would feed them there. One time he told her, Judy, I need crackers for the squirrels because she was going to the store. She came back with saltines. He was never forgave her. He was, what is this? They eat Ritz crackers. She says, you don't know. You've never given them anything else, Ron. He goes, no, it must be Ritz. So anyhow, we would go through the park. Now the park, you would go through the park and there was inside and then there was outside and there's different little areas. And he would play a game, count the squirrels. Right. So we would count them. We would both count them and then give our number. Well, his was always higher than mine. He double counted the ones in the middle. He would count the same ones coming back as he counted. I said, drop. He'd say, what was your count? I'd say 42. He goes, no, 76. I go, what are you talking about? I said, you're counting those same squirrels. He goes, I know one squirrel from the other squirrel, Michael. I'm not double. He'd ride through again. I want a different count, you know, but you know, that was my day.
A head count on the squirrels.
On the squirrels.
You got to love that game.
Yeah, this is great.
This was, of course, after he retired. Got into some of these things.
So I like this.
A lot of time on his hand.
A lot of
watching
time.
The
mailman. Oh,
the
Jack.
Mailman.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's got to be last on the route.
Jet. So specifically,
he never understood that.
You had a cafe in town that would open, what, at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning?
It was actually the cafe that was attached to hospitals called Rosie's Cafe. But most of them open at 5 or 6
and
in the morning.
And every Friday, hey, Michael, time to wake up.
Every
it's breakfast
Friday,
time. And then
every Friday, we'd go eat the breakfast and then ride around for an hour. Then he'd drop me off at school.
So he's going to wake you up. I mean, you're up at 6, no question. It's time for breakfast,
5:30.
Yeah.
Get in the shower and let's
get
go.
Get up. Let's go. Wow.
Let's go.
I need my cholesterol.
All the way through 8th grade. Because then in high school, I started driving and you know, and that and going to school.
Yeah.
What else did he watch other than Cubs baseball?
Columbo. He was a big Columbo.
Oh, yeah.
Big Columbo guy.
Yeah.
He says, you know, he'd say, where's that other eye looking? He'd always stay with Paul. But he liked Columbo. Police shows. He liked that sort of thing. Police shows. And a big sports guy.
Okay.
Iowa sports and the Cubs and the, you know, Bears and all the Chicago teams.
We have like 90 seconds left here. Alcantara. Yeah. NL Cy Young.
Yeah.
Slipped down a little bit last night after a bad eighth inning.
Boy, in the bottom of the order, too, right?
I know.
Can
Diaz get involved here?
I don't know. I suggested that to you, but then statistically,
you did.
I don't think that he really can. I think it's Alcantara's. I think the American League is more interesting, and I think it's Verlander, but I still think Cease is alive, right?
What if Cease goes 6 tonight, strikes out 8, 1 run, that's it?
The only thing about Cease a little bit is the innings, right? Because of the high strikeouts and the high pitch count, he doesn't really go deep.
Very high pitch count.
But he's just been unhittable now. What, 14 straight starts?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but I think it's Verlander's to win or lose here. He didn't have a terrific outing last night.
No, he didn't.
No decision.
That's like one, non-great start in the last 6 weeks, the way it seems.
Josh Towers says Verlander's winning it, so I tend to give some weight to that.
Well, I think voters are just going to be head over heels with the whole story.
Well, what if this gets to like 18, 19 in a row?
Good.
With Cease.
Yeah. All right, pal. Thank you for coming in today.
Oh, thank you. Yep. It was a pleasure.
Yep. There you go. Odds On weekdays, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 Pacific, right here on Beast. And up next, Paul Charchian is going to join the show, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. He's high on a team without lofty expectations this year. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go, I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Closing up shop here on a Thursday. Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian joins the program now with GuillotineLeagues.com. He'll be on Thursdays throughout the entire football season. It's good to see you again today, pal. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm excited to sort of get into our weekly routine, talking fantasy and other nonsense.
Yes. Can't wait. Okay, so explain this to us and the audience here. You are, the way it appears, pretty high? Dare I say super high on a team really without lofty expectations, and you've bet on them several different ways. Tell us who you like and how you've bet them.
Yeah, and I'll remind people when I mention this team, and thank you for the lead up here, that the last 2 of the last 3 years, we've seen a 4-win team go to the Super Bowl the next year. So, I mean, let's not act like, you know, it's impossible for a team that's totally off radar to have a nice run. And I think a great opportunity rests with the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
Maybe the most anonymous team in the NFL, by the way. I mean, we don't even think about them. And were it not for the Baker Mayfield trade, nobody would have given them any thought. But I bet them over 4.5 wins, over 6 wins, over 7.5 wins to win the division and to win the conference. And I really like them in a wide open NFC. You know, can we agree that roughly 6 or 7 of the best 8 teams are in the AFC, which leaves the NFC wide open for an oddball team to advance in the playoff?
Yes.
Then we've got the NFC South. They're gonna play in the NFC South. They've got relatively easy competition in 2 of the teams in the South, in Atlanta and New Orleans, relatively easy. Then there's Tampa, which feels like, you know, it feels like a major competitor, but to me, they look vulnerable, right? So Brady 4 months ago was retired. You know, I think, you know, I'm never going to count out Tom Brady, but you wonder where his head is. They lost Gronk. The offensive line lost Alex Kappa to Cincinnati. Ali Marpet retired, and center Ryan Jensen's expected to miss most or all of the season when he went down last week. Chris Godwin's trying to come back from an ACL. Leonard Fournette has a newfound fascination with Cinnabon. And then I look at the Panthers. If Christian McCaffrey, just by itself, if he stays healthy and just plays a full season, by the way, if he does, virtual lock to win comeback player of the year at plus 800. It's a great bet and one I've made as well. And then if Baker Mayfield is just a modest upgrade over the relatively horrible combination of quarterbacks they were bringing us last year, Cam Newton and Dalton, and who's the other guy, PJ
Walker?
Something. Yeah, PJ Walker. I mean, look, Baker Mayfield, at this time last year, Baker Mayfield was coming off a road playoff victory, a one-sided road playoff victory, and then he nearly beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. I mean, Baker Mayfield's not a bad quarterback. He will be a vast upgrade for them. And then maybe most importantly at all, that Carolina defense, they sunk all of that draft capital in 2019, 2020 into that defense. They're all those players are starting to hit their primes. Panthers had the 3rd-ranked pass defense last year. You roll all that together. There's already a team that was, you know, sitting last year, 6 wins. You know, and now they go over 6 and they go over 7.5. I think they could be a sneaky competitor in their division as well. If they can get into the playoffs, maybe that defense is good enough. Maybe Christian McCaffrey's good enough and they strike some gold.
All right. Very good. Good breakdown. And it's a juicy return on them to make the playoffs and also get to 10 wins if that happens. So from a fantasy standpoint, what should we do with McCaffrey and where is he going in some drafts?
Yeah, he's the most fascinating player in all fantasy football for drafts, because you can make a case for him to go as high as pick 2, and you can make a case for him to not be taken in the first round at all because of what's happened the last 2 years. You know, these soft tissue injuries tend to build on each other. In many cases, you're better off with just like a broken leg, because we know that's going to heal and it's not indicative of any kind of injuries that could happen. The soft tissue injuries are a real issue. And there are a lot of people that have been burned on Christian McCaffrey the last couple of years that will not touch him. And so we've seen him in many drafts, he slides down. But nationally, his average draft position is 3rd overall. So there are people that are still, they're remembering 2019 when he powered teams to fantasy victories. It's a risky play for sure. I would probably go somewhere else at pick 3, but I wouldn't let him slide too much farther than that. Improve the offensive line, by the way. First round pick, Ikem Ekwonu, on the first round, and will certainly help for an offensive line that's been languishing as well. So yeah, McCaffrey going at the early stages of the first round. I think it's a hair early, but the upside is clearly there.
Okay, let's stay at that position and stay with injuries as well. If a starter goes down, what backup has the most value?
That's a great question. Kareem Hunt has taken himself out of the running because he's asked to be traded, and A.J. Dillon is tempting, but I think the guy, the running back that you can draft late. In fact, this guy's got an 8th round average draft position, is New England's sophomore running back, Ramondre Stevenson. Last year, Damian Harris had missed 2 games. Stevenson averaged 18 touches. And these are the guys that get the ball at the goal line, which is great. Stevenson and Harris together shared 22 carries from inside the 5-yard line last year. Bill Belichick loves to run inside the 5. In fact, over the last 7 years, no team has more running plays inside the 5 than the Patriots do. And Stevenson would get all of those goal line carries. He's built beautifully for it. The guy's gigantic. He's just a bowling ball. And as a team, New England was fifth in attempts from inside the five last year. He's by the way, Ramondre Stevenson's really good. He finished ninth in the entire NFL in yards over expectation last year and third in rushing percentage over expectation. Ramondre Stevenson's a good back. And if Damian Harris goes out and he turns into a workhorse, he'd be a top five fantasy asset.
Okay, Charge. So we've talked about this nugget a couple times throughout the show so far today. The rumors are out there now this week that the Patriots are shopping Damian Harris. So they could actually trade him. You know how Belichick operates with the running backs. They took two guys in the draft. That could happen to make Stevenson the number one guy. And at Caesars Sportsbooks earlier this week, on Monday, they opened up their market of running backs to lead the league in rushing touchdowns. They had Stevenson tied for the longest odds at 500-1. Most bets, second biggest handle on Stevenson. So I don't know if those are like sharp bettors, knowing that Harris might get dealt. He's down to 70-1 at Caesars and lower than that at some books.
500-70 in a week?
Yeah, a couple days, yeah.
Couple of days. That's amazing. And if that happens, Stevenson would be, like I said, it borderline first-round fantasy asset if that ends up happening and it plays out that way. It's a great time to invest in Ramondre Stevenson right now. You know, regardless of Harris, if Harris does get traded, it becomes really obvious. But even if he doesn't, just through injury or anything else, Ramondre Stevenson, he's just that good. And for everybody who thinks that Belichick just, you know, picks that his backs are used randomly, really, that's not always the case. And there are a lot of years where especially at the stripe, he just picks one guy. Like Garrett Blunt had, what, I feel like 3 years ago, he had 15 touchdowns for Bill Belichick.
Well, that's an unbelievable nugget that you just shared of this team running so much inside the five-yard line. I mean, 22 times combined last year, that's awesome.
It is. And those are the easy touchdowns. And that could power Stevenson to that 70-1 payout. Holy cow.
Yeah. What's the best or worst draft position in the first round to you this year anyway?
For me, it's pick two, because Jonathan Taylor's going pick one. For everybody, I would take him pick one. Everybody's taking a pick one. Pick two. There's no obvious pick at pick two. And the guy you're thinking about taking a pick two could easily be there four picks later, five picks later, and then we're around that much faster in the second round. So I think pick two is the worst spot to be. I can get the guy that I would have wanted to pick two at pick six or pick six and be very happy with that. I that's where I want to be. I want to be right. The best is the middle of the round. I want to get guys middle round. I can get Cooper Kupp. I can get Najee Harris. I can get Dalvin Cook. I can get Justin Jefferson. I can get Joe Mixon right in the middle, right there. And then I quickly get that second round pick back in the middle again. I'm never more than, 12 picks away from selecting again. So, yeah, put me right in the middle of the first round, and I'm a very happy guy.
Is there a guy this year right now currently with a very high average draft position that you're like, nope, not for me this year, not going to touch him?
No player has ever successfully, at the NFL level, has ever successfully come back to have a meaningful career off Achilles surgery. It's sad, but it's a fact. And the surgery hasn't really changed over the years. So without the surgery changing, Cam Akers, I need to see it before I want to believe that Cam Akers is going to ultimately be able to return to the player that he was. And there's already an offense that does not utilize its running backs in a major way. I think they learned a lot from what they did to Todd Gurley when they took years off his lifespan. Since Gurley got run into the ground, they've been very light use on their running backs anyway. So I've got Cam Akers way down at running back 31, but nationally he's going closer to 20. There's still a lot of people that just want a Rams running back, but I need to see it first.
Yep, same here. We have like 30 seconds here. I love the concept you came up with a few years ago. For people who don't know about Guillotine Leagues and guillotineleagues.com, tell them about the format.
Instead of playing head-to-head, you start the season with 18 teams, and instead of going head-to-head, the low-scoring team gets cut every week. And their players go to the waiver wire. So you get a whole roster worth of players that hit the waiver wire every week. And then the rest of the league feasts on those players. All of the teams get better. And you continue marching through the whole season, trying to never finish last and be the last man standing. GuillotineLeagues.com.
It's incredible. There's nothing like it. The sweats every single week are the best in all of fantasy football. And again, GuillotineLeagues.com. Charge, you're the best. We'll talk to you every Thursday moving forward.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yep. Thank you.
Good luck with your Ravens bet tonight.
Yeah, 21 in a row.
I hope they get there again.
It'd be fun.
Yep. Yep. We'll see you tomorrow.
Take the VSiN experts with you anytime, anywhere with our full lineup of sports betting podcasts. Visit VSiN.com/podcasts to listen to every show on Daily Best Bets with Follow the Money, The Lombardi Line, A Numbers Game, and My Guys in the Desert. Plus, get insights and analysis.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.